Hey there, listeners. Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Leadership is Changing podcast. I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Amol Singh. Now, he's a stock trader and an investor based in New York. And when we say based in New York, Wall Street, he is based in the middle of New York and Wall Street there. In other words, he's amongst all the hustle and bustle of what's happening in the stock market. He's the founder of an organization called Live Traders. And we had a great conversation. He's also the author of a book called Prepping for Success. And the title of the episode is called, If You Want to Be Different, Do Something Different. Really cool title. And we talked about that quite a bit. But one of the things he shared right up front was about his vision board and what he does around there. So I challenged him on it. I asked him a question about how much of it has he completed or ticked off. And then the other thing was, we talked about the power of being in the room with the right people. An awesome interview, an awesome guy. So sit back and enjoy.
Welcome to Leadership is Changing. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change. This is taking your leadership to another level by finding the balance between executive excellence and personal well-being through stories that inspire real change. It's time to adapt in our fast-moving world when leadership is changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Leadership is Changing podcast. Great to have you here with us today. I've got a fantastic guest with me. His name is Amol Singh. Amol, massive welcome to you.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Excellent. Now, whereabouts in the world are you today?
I'm in New York City, right on Wall Street.
Right on Wall Street.
Yeah.
So is it near those statues like the Bull out on the street nearby that?
Yeah, the Bull is literally like right behind the building that I'm in.
Oh, wow.
I don't need to be here, but it was just like a childhood dream that I want to move to Wall Street, but I still work on the computer, so I don't need to be here.
A childhood dream. Tell us more about that. What is it that you wanted to do?
I think like every guy at some point gets interested about the stock market. And when I got into it, and at that time I was still in India, and then I moved to London for a little bit. So I was in my dorm room. I was like, it would be nice to be on Wall Street. You watch all these movies, you watch all these things, although it's nothing like that in real life. But I had it on my vision board. I used to have a vision board, and in that I had like all these things that I would want to achieve in life. And so that's why the first time when I hit my number, I made some money with my trading and investing. I was like, I'm going to move right to Wall Street. And now I'm thinking about actually moving out, maybe go to Texas or something.
Yeah, Texas. Whereabouts in Texas would you go?
Thinking about Austin, but I'm not sure yet. Yeah. You know, it's hard to, when you're in New York City, it's hard to move out.
Yeah, but there you go. Yeah. So, but I love Texas. If I was to move to the US, it probably would be Texas. It'd probably be Dallas for me, although I like Houston and Austin as well. But yeah, great places. So what I'm all saying here, listeners, is that the fact that you actually are in the middle of where it's all happening. So if you want to be part of it, you need to be there and follow the money and be where the money's being made. It's really important for you to do that. So it's really good. Vision board. I think that's something that leaders need to think about as well, as having a vision board. When you created the vision board, how much of that did you get to tick off or say, okay, we've done that? How did that go for you?
I'd say 80% of the stuff on there I've ticked off.
Wow.
20% is left, but that I'm sure I will tick that off with time as well. The other 20% is more about having a nice relationship, having a good family life. So that part I haven't sorted out yet. But in terms of the materialistic things or the business things, a majority of the goals I achieved, and I do give that a lot of credit, because I just kept it right on my desk every single day. My wallpaper was a picture of that. My phone wallpaper was a picture of that. So it was like I was really immersed myself in that vision. And I think that's one of the steps to achieving it as well.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. I think that's really, really quite cool, 80%. The other 20%, as you said, relationships and things like that. And of course, being on world-class podcasts, you can probably tick that one off now. But it's all good. And very much so about immersing yourself. And that's just the fact, not just about the vision board, but also being where you are in Wall Street and going there, right? So it's immersing yourself into the whole environment. Very, very cool. Now, the other thing is, so you're the founder of LiveTraders.com, and you also have written a book called Prepping for Success. Tell us more about your background and a little more about what you've done.
Definitely. So I started getting involved with the stock market while I was still in college. I was studying a business degree in London. While I was in college, they had a program where before you can graduate, you have to have a few years of internship or work experience. And that's the time where I applied to you know, a bunch of different jobs, internships from the best companies all the way down to the startups, but I wasn't able to get a callback. Like, just didn't get in anywhere. My application wasn't well received. And that's the moment it dawned on me that I can't rely on the world to give me a job or to provide me the job. If I had to achieve what's on my vision board, I have to figure out another way, because I'm not wasting a year in my dorm room while other people are getting internships. My friends are going out getting these great jobs. I had to figure something out. So in that year where I couldn't find a job, I just went online. I researched about the stock market, read a lot of books, bought online courses, talked to a lot of different people, went to different events. And that's where the seeds were planted about me getting into the stock market. And then while I was still in college, I was trading for a firm in New York. I was trading their company's money. And in exchange, they would take 30% of everything that I made. So while I was in college, I was still in my dorm room doing that, skipping lectures and trading for a different company and doing pretty well at that point. That's how I got into the stock market. And you know, since then, I've been doing that ever since. I've never had a job. That's all I've ever done most of the time. And I met a mentor who is actually my business partner now. So he's the guy who taught me how to get involved in the stock market, got me introduced to this company, got me a place at the company to work for. And then, yeah, just started trading for them, started coaching for them. And one day the CEO called me up. He said, "Hey, you're doing really well in a program. You've all the way crossed to level 7. Majority of our new hires are stuck at level 2, level 3. Why don't you come in and do a little seminar for the new hires that we have and help them get up to the levels?" That's how I got into the coaching game and the coaching business, is by working for that company. Mm-hmm. So I learned everything I know about the business within that framework. And then in 2015, when that company got bought out, that's when I decided to say, you know what? I don't need to give them 30% of everything I've made. Maybe I should start my own thing. And that's how Live Traders was started.
Awesome. And going really well, which is great. And the book, Prepping for Success, how did that come about?
Yeah, so Prepping for Success came about as I embarked on my personal development journey, because trading was the biggest personal development journey I've ever embarked on. When you're risking millions of dollars every single day in the stock market, it could really affect your psychology. It could really affect your mindset. And research has already been done. Trading releases the same hormones of dopamine and serotonin, the same ones you get when you gamble, right? When you have sex, when you do any sort of illicit drugs. Now, as traders, we get that every single day. So if you're not emotionally stable, it could really, really mess you up, as we've seen with a lot of different, you know, stories that we heard about trading and investing. So that got me into a personal development journey, because I realized how messed up I really was. Mm-hmm. Like, I was emotionally trading, making bad decisions, ignoring all the systems and the data, and just, this is how I feel the stock is going to do. And you end up over-risking, over-leveraging. And that's what got me into my personal development journey, where I hired tons of coaches, mentors, workshops, seminars, spiritual retreats, really try to work on myself. And I realized that not everybody has that time or the money to do the things that I did to figure out to where I got to. So my goal with this book was to distill everything that I've learned in my personal development journey and put it into just 10 keys that people can start executing on right away that has helped me improve the quality of my life, and hopefully for the readers as well.
There you go, listeners. Check it out. The book is Prepping for Success. Sounds very, very cool to read. You come from an Indian background and living in the US. So do you follow cricket?
I do. I don't watch the full games, but I do try to watch the highlights of the major games.
The highlights are better. Yeah. Sometimes it's amazing.
Yeah. 30 minutes.
Yeah. It's way better. But we just had like 5-day tests here in New Zealand, and it's just like, it's a long time, 5 days. And sometimes you don't always get a result, but I do like the 1-day games and the T20 games, right? I love those. They're quick and it just happens and very exciting. So yeah, very good.
You know, the World Cup, Cricket 2020 World Cup coming up, is actually in New York. For the first time ever, they built a stadium in Dallas and a stadium in New York and a stadium in Florida. So the T20 World Cup for the first time will be coming to America, which is
great. When's it coming to America?
This year, and I think June or July is when it's starting.
Wow. That'd be good.
Yeah.
I find that rugby's in the US, but I think Rugby League, which is more Australia, New Zealand, and the UK, they've just done some, what do you call those games? How would you call them? Like promotional kind of games. They've actually had real games, but they've actually just to promote the sport in the country, which is very interesting. It's good to see that cricket is going to be doing that in the US too. Yeah, very good. Will you go to these games?
I am definitely going to. I'm trying to get tickets right now because there's India-Pakistan game in June. So I'm looking forward to get tickets.
So you'll be supporting India, of course?
Of course.
Yeah, go Pakistan. I always like doing that with people. They go the opposite. But yeah, so New Zealand will be there too, which would be good.
Yeah.
So if India's not playing, would you then support New Zealand? No, that's
I will represent you at the
game. Oh, thanks, man. That's awesome. Yeah, just go there with your black t-shirt on. You'd be fine. Everything will be good. Okay. Yeah. How did you get into leadership yourself?
I got into it because I had to lead myself. I grew up as an introvert. I grew up in India and conservative background. So for me, I realized that I wanted more from life and it was holding me back where I was or the people that I was surrounded with. So leadership really started with first having to lead myself. And the first step was, okay, how do I get out of the country to live what's on my vision board, right? So to lead myself through that. And then I went to London and I stayed there for a little bit. But then I wanted to move to America, so I had to lead myself there. And when I got here, at that time, it was still very early. I didn't have LifeLeaders.com. I hadn't started my business. I was still working for the other company. So I had to lead myself through that process of having my own company, hiring employees, building this network, living on Wall Street, going to these rooms that I don't feel like I belong in. But I had to go there just to build that network that I wanted. So leadership really started first with leading myself. And then as I grew a team, then it was about leading my team and setting an example for them. So I think that is where everything started for me. And now as I coach and train thousands of other traders around the world, it's about being that leader, leading from the front. And I trade live every single day. So win or lose, people get to see it in real time, what I'm making or losing. And I do that because then I can lead my students, that they can see me do what I'm telling them to do. I think that is the biggest element of leadership, is leading by example.
Yeah, I think it is. Leading by example is really important there. You mentioned before about getting into the rooms. And I think a lot of that comes to being around the people, being around the right people, because then that actually helps you lift up to where you need to be. The other way I would say it is that they always say that saying that the people you hang around is what you become. The power of being in the room with the right people. How important is that?
Very important. And if not for the knowledge and the network, but just to see that what's possible. Like I remember this one time we were holding a conference and then one of our people in my network, they're like, hey, why are you going like this? Come fly with me. And I was like, okay, he'll get my tickets or whatever. But I didn't expect we were flying in his plane. And at that time, I'd never flew on a private jet or anybody's jet for that matter. So that was an eye-opening experience for me. I'm like, okay, wow, this is also possible, right? And then when he had organized this beautiful event and these great rooms, great network of people, beautiful dinners and lunches. And I was just coming from India at that time. So my eyes were just like, wow, this is amazing. This is great. And I think then them helping you expand your mind, where I was like, is this really possible? Can I really do it? Am I the one who can actually pull this off? Whereas those people would lift you up and say, yes, here's how I did it. And I felt the same way. So they were sharing their journey. When it was their first time, they felt the exact same way I'm feeling right now. So that was like a thing for me to say, okay, wow, they're not this perfect image that I'm looking at or perfect image that people see on social media. They had their own struggles. They felt the same way that I felt, that I don't belong in this room. And they helped me say, hey, no, own it. You do belong here, right? You have gifts to give. And I think that is the benefit of a network, is a good network will lift you up. A good network will build you up. It will give you the confidence. But at the same time, when you're messing up, they're going to point it out. They're going to give you that tough love. Hey, you're playing too small. You need to do this at a bigger scale. So I think that's the benefit of a good network, because you don't want to be surrounded by cheerleaders who are always saying, yeah, great job. Right? My network will tell you, this is what you could have done better. This is what you need to be doing next. Here's what we've done in our business that's helped us. So I think being in a right room can really, really lift you up. And it could literally condense decades of experience into just a few hours with them. Whereas you could go about trial and error, try to do it yourself over the years, but they could just tell you, here's what their journey was. I think that's the benefit.
Nice. You don't have to reinvent the wheel because people have been there before, but they can help you do it. And I love what you say about the power of being in the room with the right people is about helping expand your mind. Own it, because you do belong here. And a good network will help lift you up. That's fantastic. And I like also that other piece you said about you have some real conversations with you and they'll tell you, well, you're doing things really well, or you need to put your head in and get on with other things too, which is very good. Great way to do it. Very much so. This person can be alive or from history. Who's your favorite leader and why?
My favorite leader is Werner Erhard. So he runs a Landmark, what we used to be back in the day. Est was a workshop. He's the foremost leader in leadership. I think all the texts that I've read about leadership, about integrity, they all come from his work and ontology. And I think that he exemplifies true leadership if you really read into a lot of his work.
Yep. So you've spent time with him?
I have not. I have not spent time with him, but I've studied his work immensely. I've been to workshops where he's been a speaker, but I haven't spent time with him one-on-one. I would love to.
Okay, here's a question. If you two were sitting on a park bench having a coffee together, what would be one question you'd love to ask him?
I would just ask him stories about his life, meaning not trying to get leadership tips because everything's been written before, but really understand what got him on this journey, right? And some of the things that he would tell me to look out for based on where I'm at. So anytime I meet somebody who is successful, the only first question I ask them is, I tell them a little bit about myself and I'm like, based on where I'm at, what do you think I need to avoid? What mistakes do I think I need to look out for? I think those are the questions that help me eliminate a lot of different mistakes in my life just by asking that question, what I need to avoid.
Yeah, great question. Yep. Hey, listeners, if you are not asking that question when you're out networking with people and things like that, based on where you are today, I think Miles just shared a great question for you to think about. What do you think I need to avoid? What mistakes I might need to avoid? Because you can learn from what they've actually gone through before too, very much so. And Mal, the show here is called Leadership is Changing. When I say that statement or that title, what does it mean for you?
For me, it means that leadership is changing because times are fast and dynamic. The information is now available on your fingertips. So if you're not the one leading the change in your organization, in your company, in your life, in your family, then somebody else will lead that change. And it might not be where you want it to go. So that's what it means to me, is that you got to step into that leadership role, realize that you are a leader. Consciously or unconsciously, you think you're not a leader. You might just be leading it to a bad direction. So if you wanted to lead your life or your company or organization in the right direction, then you got to be that one leader. Otherwise, somebody else will lead it to where you don't want it to go to. So I think that's what it means to me. The times are moving fast. Information is readily available. If you're not the one leading the change, somebody else will.
Yeah, that's a good point in saying it. And when you just said it about things are getting faster, and it seems to be life is getting faster, business is getting faster, maybe in the trading game as well with stocks and things like that, it could be getting faster as well. I remember many years ago, people standing in the room with blackboards and with chalk and writing up the share prices, and that doesn't happen like that anymore. What does a leader need to do today in that fast pace of a changing world to be successful?
I think the number one thing is to create experiences and memories, because what happens is the reason why we feel time is going by fast is perhaps because we haven't done a whole lot, right? So one of the things that one of my mentors told me is like, the reason time is moving fast is because you haven't created any memories or experiences. Because if you had created memories or experiences, then you can slow down time by looking back and say, here's all the things that I did last year. So if you ask somebody, what are the top 20 things you did last year? They can't think about it. That means they didn't do anything. So time just went by fast. But if you can point back and say, okay, last year I did this beautiful hike on this mountain. I did a cold plunge in the frozen lake of Michigan, Minnesota. I've been to these many conferences, right? I've been to these many retreats. I've traveled here with my family. I have spoken at these many stages. Now you can slow down time by saying, okay, all these things that you've done. So the way you can slow down time is by doing more. I think that is one of the things that I think about. And the way you could do that is by being a person of integrity, which is doing what you said you're going to do and then doing it when you said you're going to do it. I think that's the foundation of anything, because we can all have great ideas. We can all say we want to do something, but if you don't do it, it doesn't mean anything.
No. It's a great way of putting it. And I wonder what it is, though, if you can think about all those things. And I know that you're saying that you're creating memories and experiences, but if you can't share all those things, it's obviously you're not doing enough or you're not doing anything. That's important. How does the experiences, the memories, or those things that you may have done, how does that slow things down? How does that work?
Because what it does is you are building, like if you were to put a CV or a resume, right? You write down all your life experiences. So you should have a resume for your life. These are all the things that I've done. And you can look back and say, in 2023, here's all the things that I did, right? So it's not that fast. All year, like a lot of people say, man, where did the year go? It just went by. I'm like, what did you do that last year? Oh, well, the day-to-day, my job, my work. So you didn't do anything. Time just went by fast. And it's going to continue to get faster and faster, or at least it's going to feel like it, if you don't create those experiences and those memories that you can look back and say, this is my life's resume. This is all the things that I've done. I think that's how you can slow down time, because you have things to look back at. And then when you have things to look back at, that helps you create the future to look into. But if you don't have something to look back at, or if you have bad things to look back at, then that also leads into the future.
So let's go back to what you said earlier on as well about the vision board, because I think the vision board is very powerful for a lot of people. First of all, by the time this will be year, this will be either to like the first sort of quarter of the year is probably gone. Is it too late for someone to pull together a vision board for the year? And also, how do you pull a vision board? What would be the approach that you would do?
Yeah, I think it's too late. They should just give up. No, it's never
too late. But that's how some people think. They think, oh, well, it's, yeah. But it's never too late, right?
Yeah, because you got to wrestle for your life, no matter how long it is, right? Yeah. You got to wrestle the life, even if it's 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. Everybody's at a different age, but like, you still have tomorrow, hopefully, right? But now the way you could do that is by just sitting down with yourself. I think a lot of people don't take time to just be with themselves. They're always on their phone. They're always on TV. They're always reading an email. Or even if they're maybe surrounded by friends and family. But I think everybody at some point needs time by themselves, right? So something that I personally do every few weeks or, sorry, every few quarters is that I'll go for a week into the woods, get a cabin, right? I don't take my laptop, take my headphones for music, and I take my phone, and I take a couple books that I want to really finish. I take them to a cabin with a journal of mine, and I just write down, what did I learn after reading this book? Well, how can I use that in my future life? What is the vision that I want to create for next year? Because a vision board doesn't have to be this vision for the rest of your life. It could just be, what's my vision for the next 5 years, right? Let's just make a vision board for that. And after 5 years, you can check off the things you checked off, remove the things off the vision board, replace it with something else. So, but it all starts with sitting down with yourself and asking yourself the questions. What do you want? What do I want? What do I want my life to look like? Describe it. Be visual with it. What do I want to feel? How do I want it to look? How do I look in that future, right? What am I wearing? Like all those questions you ask yourself. And if you're not clear on that, hey, let's start with what do I not want, right? So for example, I had a couple of business partners before many, many years ago, and I made a list of what do I don't want. Well, I don't want negative business partners. I don't want problem-oriented. I want solution-oriented business partners. I want them to come with a solution for every problem rather than a problem for every problem. So I first made a list of what I don't want. I don't want to be surrounded by negative people. I found out a way, either bought him out, get him out of the partnership. So once you have a list of what you don't want, then what you're left with is what you do want. So that helps you get clarity on that. So I think that is the first step, but it all starts with sitting with yourself. It's the easiest thing to do, but it's also the hardest thing to do because our mind wanders. We want to watch something, want to go on Twitter or something, but sit with yourself. A lot of the things would really come to you. Some people call it the universe. Some people call it God. Whatever your beliefs are, right? Listen to that inner voice. But that inner voice can only come to you when you stop speaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So that inner voice, great. Sit with yourself. Does it have to be a week or could it be a shorter time period?
Take a weekend. Go on a Saturday, Sunday. Take a day. Most people don't take an hour to themselves, right? So start there. You don't have to go to this retreat like Anmol said. Sit with yourself, right? Tell your kids, your family, hey, Dad's going to be busy for a couple hours, right? Just let me be. Go get a WeWork if they still exist anymore. They're bankrupt now. But go to a co-working space. Do something. Just take some time out for yourself. I think that's where the real work begins.
And I like what you said about the woods because in getting a cabin there because it's actually you getting into nature, right? And being in that kind of space. Whether it be a day, 2 days, or a week, the important thing here, listeners, is that you do it. That you do take time out to... as the mole says, is actually taking time out to be by yourself, to think and listen to the voice and do what you need to do. Journaling, capturing your thoughts, Amol, really important?
Yes, journaling is important, but I would say, like, I don't want to be too hard on people because some people are not people who love writing. But for some people, it could be recording, audio journal, right? Pull out your phone, do audio recording and just speak to your thoughts and actually listen to yourself saying. Because there's something powerful about when you listen to yourself saying it, then you could be like, bullshit, or that's not true, or I don't believe in that. I just said it because it sounded good. So I think journaling, there's many different ways. One of them is listening to yourself, repeating it back. Like a lot of my students, I ask them to make a video, right? Send it to me, and then also watch them back with their family and how good you feel about watching it with your family or not. And I think that says a lot. So I think those are some of the ways you can still get the benefits of journaling. If you're not somebody who loves writing, you can still do that.
Yeah, very good. That's a great way of doing it. But it's amazing, isn't it? Because it could be quality bullshit, as you say, but it could be, it's about actually how you say things. And I think people don't understand the words they use. And it's actually very important to do that. Great, great, great option. The employees today, you and I have been talking about things from a leader's perspective. If we're talking about things about from an employee's perspective nowadays, you've got people working for you and you and I have been employees in the past. The employee expectations of leaders today, has that changed?
that has changed a little bit because of the environment that we're in, a remote environment. Mm. It's much harder because when you're in an office, you can lead by example. They can monitor your ways of doing the work. They can look at how you're working, how you show up on time, right? So they can, you can lead by example. Hey, wow, my boss is showing up on time. He's always early. He's always the last one to leave. But when we're in a virtual environment, they don't get to see all of that. So you actually have to step up a lot more. Lead up to example a lot more because they can see you coming on time. They can see you stepping in late. They can see you still working late hours. So how do you communicate that you're a leader, right? The way you do that is by, I do that by frequent communication, checking in, weekly calls. And some calls will be nothing to do with work. How are you doing? How's your life? How's your family life? How's your family doing, right? What are you grateful for today? Like just building those team connections because that is what we're missing in a virtual environment. Right? You can't walk up to Sally's desk and say, how are you doing? You can't, right? You have to actually make an effort. So leaders have to make much more an effort. But the key is a lot of people are not making that effort. So if you're the leader who actually makes this effort now and starts leading by example, you're going to set yourself apart from everybody else. They would want to work for you because most people, they haven't adjusted to the virtual environment. They're not doing the things that needed to be done. So it's actually a way you can differentiate yourself. You actually have an advantage in this environment.
Yeah. You do. And if you use it well, yes, it's very, very strong in doing so. Now, if I was to get you to get your crystal ball out here and start thinking about the future, if I can put it that way, where do you see leadership being in 5 years? He's got his crystal ball out here. Yeah, good.
So where do I see myself in 5 years? So I have coached and trained thousands of traders over the years, but what I really end up coaching them on is actually this. It's that leading yourself, the psychology. So what I see myself doing is stepping into that arena a lot more, right? Contributing what I've learned, how I've helped million-dollar traders, how it can help everyday person in their lives. So I see myself stepping into that. I have my book out. I want to take that a bit further, see where I can expand it into. I've been getting on a lot of different speaking engagements and stuff. So I see myself just doing that a bit more. If you asked me this question a few years ago, I would have told you I'm going to start my hedge fund. But I looked into that. I filed the paperwork. I was doing about to open my hedge fund. But then I actually went to a bunch of these networking events and met a lot of hedge fund managers. And I realized that's not the life that I want because it's not about actual trading investing. That life is all about raising more money, kissing a lot of frogs, as we say. Go to networking events, raise more money. And I was just like, that's just not the life that I want to live. So I actually want to help people because I know how much I struggled, right, from coming to where I got to. So I want to be able to share my experiences and give back in a much bigger way. So that's what I see myself doing.
Excellent. Because like you just said about the hedge fund, what was your thinking? In other words, when we're talking about things in relation to where we're going next, you mentioned earlier on about I was going to set up a hedge fund. What was the purpose or the reasoning for you to go and set up the hedge fund? Is it because that's what is expected in the market or the industry of what you're going to do next? Is it because you saw others doing it? What was the driver for you?
Yeah, I think a combination of both of those things. One of them was, well, what's the next logical step, right? When you get to this level in trading investing, what's the next logical step? The next step is opening up a hedge fund. And that's what everybody else was doing too. And a lot of people that I met or I network with, they're like, yeah, you're doing great in your trading and you're making money. But what if you did that same thing with billions of dollars of other people's money? And that's the next logical step. So that's a step that was suggested to me. But then I sat with myself, as I was telling you to listeners earlier, to sit with yourself and ask myself, why am I doing it? And then I came to the conclusion, well, I'm just doing it because everybody else is doing it. And that's just the next logical step. And then that's one of the times when I just said to myself, like a voice of my mentor came into my mind. It's like, if you want to be something different, you got to do something different. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm not doing that. That's just the thing that everybody else goes down. And that's just the path that Wall Street wants you to go down, right? They don't want you to just teach the average person how to get involved in the stock market. They want you to just take their money and collect fees. And it just didn't sit well with me. When I actually look at the stats, 90% of those funds actually underperformed the stock market. Like, you're better off just buying the market. So I'm like, so what am I doing? Just collecting fees? Like, is that who I really am? And that's when I was like, that's just not something that I want to do.
So the power of asking really good questions with others is important. But I think what Mo is saying here is that asking yourself those questions and taking time out to actually see what I'm wanting to do or where we're going next is the right thing to do. Because the thing, Amol, sometimes people think they need to go and do that because others are doing it, but it may not be the right thing for you, as you said. And I think sometimes that could be packaged a little bit different. So asking those questions yourself and thinking about things, very, very important indeed. Hey, it's been great talking to you today. If our listeners are wanting to get hold of you, where should they go?
Yeah, first of all, it's great chatting with you as well. I really enjoyed those questions, and it actually got me to think a lot as well while I'm saying these answers too. But I think the best place to find me would be Twitter or Instagram. My username on both of those is Delta90, DeltaNinety. Don't ask me why. I had it a long time ago. But in terms of my book, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Walmart, wherever you buy your books, it's Prepping for Success, 10 Keys for Making It in Life. And you can learn more about me and my company at livetraders.com.
Excellent. Thank you. Been a real pleasure. So yeah, very good. Hey, listeners. Well, there you go. A vision board, and the power of that vision board is very strong. And you can't rely on others to give you a job. You probably might need to go out and do something yourself or go out there and look for it. But if you can prepare for success and prep, that's a very good thing for you to do. The power of being in the room with the right people, so strong, and you can do that, it's going to be great. But the thing here is this, leading yourself is important. And if you can do that and do it really well, then that's going to put you in a really good position to be able to move forward. Hey, it's been a great pleasure being with you all today. Thanks for joining. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Leadership is Changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change, inspiring executives and leaders to adapt and lead a bigger game in a fast-moving world.